Luke chapter 2 and beginning with verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thine word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Well, of course, today is Christmas Day, and probably most of your presents have been unwrapped, and there's no more surprises. You know what they are. But I want you to know that Christmas can go on 24/7. It can go on 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. And the way that can happen is when we allow Jesus to be the central figure of Christmas. When Jesus was 8 days old, he was circumcised as prescribed by the law. And then after 40 days, Mary had reached the end of her purification period. And in these verses, we are allowed to see, as Mary and Joseph went to the house of the Lord and presented Jesus. While they were there, a special event occurred. Two saints of God are mentioned in this story, Simeon and Anna. They were in the temple. They were a part of the faithful remnant that was looking for the appearing of the Messiah. When they met Jesus, even though he was just 40 days old, and even though he was just a tiny infant, they were overjoyed and began to lift praises to the Lord. And we can learn a few things from the praise that they gave that day, and how fitting it is for us to give praise to the newborn King on this day that we celebrate his birth. First of all, I want you to look at the motive for their praise, for the praise of the Lamb. When Simeon enters the temple and takes Jesus into his arms, the old man declares for all to hear the reasons for his joy. In his speech, Simeon gives a threefold motive for praising the Lord. And the motive that he gave for praising the Lord is just as valid for us today. Why did he praise him? First of all, he praised because of who he appeared. Who appeared? The name Simeon means he who hears. And apparently this man had been hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. He had been told that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world for himself. When old Simeon sees Jesus, he's notified by the Holy Spirit that this is the one, this is the Messiah. And Simeon begins to praise the Lord because of who has entered into the world. Let me just take a moment to tell you who this baby they named Jesus was and who he still is. He was God who came to earth in human form. We call it the incarnation. God became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is still God today. And as such, he is deserving of our praise and he is deserving of our worship. He is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He is the Savior of sinners, and he is the only way to God. There is no other way. Jesus Christ himself declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through me." Simeon is excited because the promised one, the one who he had been waiting for all these years, has finally arrived. He knew who it was. He knew Jesus when he saw him. And so the question that you and I must answer is, do I know who Jesus is? And if you do, then you can praise him like Simeon did. You can praise him because he is God who came as the Lamb of God to take away your sins. And he is the only Savior that you or I will ever need. And then Simeon praised because of why he arrived. As Simeon praises God the Father for the baby Jesus, he tells us a little bit about why Jesus came into this world. We are told in verse 30 that Jesus is salvation. Then we are told that he has come to change the whole world. His life, his living and dying, will make an impact on the whole world and on history itself. The ministry will be fulfilled as it impacts the nation of Israel. But it won't stop there. It will reach out into the Gentile world. Basically, Simeon is reminding us that Jesus came in this world to save all those who would come to him by faith, whether they be Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter. The truth that Jesus came into this world to set me free from my sins, that's a true motive for praise. That he would love me enough to die for me and to save me by his grace is a thought that is beyond the ability to put into words. Words cannot describe what he has done for us. Words cannot describe how we feel about what he has done for us. If we can't find any other reason to praise the Lord, surely we can praise him because he loved us so much that he was willing to endure the pain of the cross, that he was willing to endure the shame and the horror of the cross to set us free from our sins. If you have no other reason to be thankful today, can't find anything else to praise God for, you can praise him because he is the indescribable gift. He is the only one that could remove your sins. There's no greater gift than that. And then Simeon was able to praise God because of what he would accomplish. In these verses, the old man speaks of really three things. He's speaking of a stone, he's speaking of a sign, and he's speaking of a sword. He is the salvation stone. He is the judgment stone. He is the touchstone. That is, he reveals who men really are. You know, in everything in your spiritual life, hinges on how you think about Jesus, what you do with him. You see, to some, he's a rock of offense. He's a stumbling block. People stumble over him, cannot accept that he is divinity, that he was God himself. They cannot accept that he paid the penalty for their sins, and they trip over him. And so the greatest question that anybody will ever answer, and it's a question that everybody has to answer, is that question, what think ye of Christ? What do you think about him today? What do you think about Jesus? Was he just a baby that was born in a manger who lived a good life, but that's basically it? Or do you look at him as God incarnate? God becoming flesh and dwelling among us, living a sinless life and dying on the cross for your sins. How do you view him this morning? Hope that to you he's the rock of salvation, but to some in this world today, he's a rock of offense and a stumbling block. And then Simeon also talks about a sign. The word sign means miracle. Everything about the Christmas story, everything about Jesus really is a miracle. From the virgin birth onward, instead of receiving him as the gift and revelation of God, his enemies attacked and crucified him. His birth was a miracle, and yet they attacked it. His miracles were ridiculed and attributed even to the works of Satan. His character was called into question. They mocked him as he died. You saved others. Can't you save yourself? Come down from the cross. And they mocked him. They lied about his resurrection. Even today, men still doubt the miracle. The miracle man, by questioning his promise to return to the earth again. And then Simeon talked about a sword. This was Mary's pain. She suffered as she watched Jesus fulfill his father's plan. The ultimate hurt. And I don't know if any mother could really here today even grasp the pain that Mary must have felt as she saw her son hanging on the cross and dying on that cross for sinners. The bottom line is that Jesus Christ came into this world to provide for salvation for the lost. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. He said, I came to give my life as a ransom for many. And so, do you know the miracle man today? Is Jesus the chief cornerstone of your life? When you stop to think of who arrived, why he appeared, and what he accomplished, you can see that we have quite a motive for praising the Lord. Secondly, today I'd like to look at the method of the Lamb's praise. As we see Simeon and Anna magnify the Lord, the name of the Lord, we can learn a few things about how to praise God ourselves. First of all, you can notice that their praise was vocal. Simeon didn't just see Jesus and rejoice in his heart. No, his mouth opened up and he lifted up his voice in praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was vocal. His praise was visible. Simeon involved the entire person in the act of praise. He reached out. He lifted the little baby Jesus up and he held him high and he praised the Lord for this gift. He was not embarrassed to praise vocally and verbally his Redeemer. And then the praise was verbal. Anna enters the arena of praise. She blends her voice with that of Simeon. But she adds an additional element to the praise. While Simeon lifts up his hands, his heart, and his voice to the Lord, Anna praises the Lord, but she also tells others about what the Lord is doing. And so her praise was vocal, visible, and verbal. And I know some of you might not be real outgoing, and you're more reserved and laid back. And sometimes people become too afraid of what others might think, but I think the scriptures tell us that it is okay, it is proper, and even that the Lord desires us to praise him vocally, visibly, and verbally. God enjoys that. God likes it. I wonder if I can back that up from scripture. Let me see. Does the scripture talk about vocal praise? Psalm 47:1 says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph." Psalm 98:4 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth." Make a loud noise. That's what my singing is, just loud noise. Amen. Yeah, well, few people can have the talent Jeremy has, I tell you. Rejoice and sing praise, the scripture says. Psalm 135:1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord." If you're a servant of his, you should be praising him. "Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant." Hebrews 13:15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God." How often? Continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Then some scriptures talking about visible praise. Psalm 63 in verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Psalm 134, 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. I think God enjoys our visible praise, but then verbal praise as well. Psalm 51 in verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Mark chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. You know, I think that God enjoys it when his children brag about him. When they brag about him to the lost. They're not bragging about themselves, but they're bragging about what the Lord has done for them in the company of the saints and in the presence even of sinners. And thirdly, today and lastly, we want to look at the ministry of the Lamb's praise. As the name of the Lord was praised publicly, three things took place that day. And by the way, these three things will happen today when people praise the Lord publicly. We can praise him for who he is and for what he has done, what he is going to do, what his plans are to do. First of all, the sovereign was exalted. It brought glory to God. You know that everything up to this point that took place in the temple was simply ritual. It really didn't have a lot of meaning. It was tradition, it was ritual. But Simeon and Anna broke the rituals and they began to praise the Lord. The focus was taken off the ritual and placed on the Lord God of heaven. You see, there were things in the temple that just represented God. They just no longer looked at those as a ritualistic way. They began to see how God was revealed in those things, and they began to put the praise where it should be. They began to put the praise on him. When the Lord does something in your life, you need to thank him for it. You need to praise him for it, that he might be exalted and glorified through your praise. Even today, when the Lord is praised and exalted in this church or in the world, he's lifted up. He's magnified. And so the sovereign is exalted. The saints were edified. Mary and Joseph hear their praises, and they are given hope and encouragement by the praises of these precious saints of God. By the way, it still helps other Christians today when you praise the Lord. When you praise God, you bring joy to my heart. And you never know that there might be somebody here that can't praise the Lord for themselves, but you lift their spirits through your praise. Or when they hear the testimony that's given from your lips, you put faith into their heart, or you put hope into their heart, or you give them encouragement. And so never be afraid to speak for the Lord, either in praise or testimony or song or whatever it might be, because you are not only exalting God, you're edifying everybody else. And then the third thing that happened was that sinners were evangelized. The Bible tells us that Anna went out and told others about the baby she had seen. The Bible says that she spake of him. Because she was verbal in her praise, lost sinners heard where they could find Jesus too. You will never know what a little testimony, a little praise, a little witness for Jesus will accomplish. There is something attractive about a child of God who is saved and is not ashamed of Jesus. I wonder today how you're doing in the praise department. If you are saved, you have a reason to praise him. If you've been holding back, why not get busy exalting his name, edifying his saints, his children, and evangelizing the lost through your praise and your testimony? Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? course, if you are here today, and I've talked about saved, and maybe some of you aren't familiar with that term. When I'm talking about somebody who's saved, I'm simply talking about somebody who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved from their sins. That means that they have trusted in Jesus who died on the cross for their sins. They've trusted that his death and the blood that he shed was payment for the sins that they have committed. That's saved. If you're not saved, the Bible says that you're lost. The opposite of being saved is to be lost. And if that's the case, then you have a different set of needs today. Here Simeon talks about departing because he has seen the Lord's salvation. Friend, it is of vital importance that you see God's salvation before death takes you out of this world. Simeon wanted to see it. He didn't need to see Jesus, but he had that promise that he would not die until he saw him. But please, let nobody here today under the sound of my voice die until you first have seen God's salvation. After death comes from you, it will be too late. If you need to be saved, there's no better day. I can't think of any better day than Christmas to let Christ be born again, only letting him be born in your heart. That's the place where he really wants to be born. He wants to be born in your heart. He was born in the manger, died on the cross for this very thing, to be born in your heart. Is there anybody here today, say, by a raised hand, Pastor, would you pray for me? Christ has not been born in my heart. I'm not saved today. I've not asked him to be my Savior, and so I guess I must be lost. But I want to be found today. I want to be like Simeon. I want to see the Lord's salvation. Is there anybody here just by a raised hand? I'm not going to embarrass you today, but I would like to pray for you. Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to have Christ born in my heart today. I want to receive him as my Savior today. I want to receive his sacrifice on the cross as my gift of eternal life. Could I see your hand? Christian, you're here today. Let me just ask you how you're doing in the praise department. Are you praising him? Are you praising him verbally? Are you praising him visibly? Are you praising him vocally? With your mouth? With your body, with your actions, with your witness to others. That's how you can praise him today. And when you do that, you'll exalt the Lord, you will edify others, and you'll evangelize those who are lost. How many of you think you could do a little bit better? Could the Lord see your hand? Lord, I want to praise you a little bit better, a little bit more. Thanks, you could put your hands down. Lord, you have seen these hands today. Thank you, Lord, for these that are willing to praise you. Lord, thank you for modern-day Simeons and Annas who come to this house of worship and others like it across this country and across this world to give you the praise that you so rightly deserve. Lord, we worship you. We worship you today. Lord, I pray that you would help our praise to glorify you, to edify others, and to evangelize our world. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.